It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to give you live special coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily coronavirus briefing in Arkansas. Here in the state, we have 625 cases of COVID-19 at last check from the health department. We have also seen 10 people die in the state from the coronavirus. Nationally, the total number of cases is just over 225,000, with about 5,300 deaths. At yesterday's coronavirus briefing here at the state capitol, we heard two more people over the age of 65 had died in Arkansas, though no more specifics were given. We also heard yesterday Democratic State Representative Reginald Murdoch of Marianna had tested positive for the virus. Today, we are also hearing reports that another state lawmaker, Representative Vivian Flowers, has also tested positive. Flowers is also a Democrat and represents a part of Jefferson County, where the first case of COVID-19 in Arkansas was identified just over 3 weeks ago. And of course, both diagnoses comes just a few days after the state legislature held a special legislative session to attempt to plug a $353 million hole in the budget that has been essentially caused by the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. Also yesterday, we heard a number of new restrictions on parks. All state parks in the state are closed during the day. And now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Secretary Kelly, you can make yourself at home anywhere you want. Eddie?
Great.
So everybody wanted me to introduce you, Eddie. So would you come over here and introduce yourself?
This is the governor's sign language interpreter.
My name is Eddie Schmeckenbecker. I'm interpreting for the governor today.
And Eddie does a great job for us consistently, and I want you to know I've had some feedback that people like your ties.
Thank you.
I am pleased to be joined today by Secretary Nate Smith, as well as Secretary Wendy Kelly from the Department of Corrections, that will talk a little bit about what we're doing in the prisons today. Director A.J. Gary is here as well, who has been working very diligently on our supply chain that is critical for our state. To give you an update today from yesterday we had 584 cases, 56 hospitalizations. Today, that has gone up to 643 cases. We have four new counties that have been added, and we have 66 that have been hospitalized, so that's an increase of 10. And we have two additional deaths, so that is a total of 12 deaths that we are reporting today. I want to talk about, before Dr. Smith comes up here, an issue that has come up in which a lot of people have raised the question as to whether we ought to be sheltering in place. And I want to spend a little bit of time today talking about that. First of all, it's important to note if we could go to the screen, and we can see what I call is our targeted response to COVID-19. And these are very aggressive actions that we've taken, from closing the schools, closing restaurants and bars except for dine out, closed lodges at state parks, closed casinos, closed hair salons, barbershops, massage therapy, nail salons, tattoo shops, closed gyms, movie theaters, bowling alleys, and indoor amusement centers, directed state employees to work remotely when possible. Those are just a few of the measures that we have taken, which actually exceed some of the measures in other states. And the result of these targeted measures and the strategy that we've implemented has given us some good results. And if we go to the next slide, we will see, again, you've seen this before, a little bit different fashion, but the blue line is what we projected to be the increase in cases in Arkansas. And if you remember, that projection was given probably about 2 weeks ago now. And we expected it to rise to 3,500 by mid-April. As you can see, the red graphs or red bars are the actual numbers. The blue is the projection, and the red are the actual numbers that we are reflecting. And even with the 60 additional cases, I believe it is today, you will see that we're over 400 less than what we are projecting at this time. And so the strategy of a targeted response to this emergency virus situation in Arkansas is proven to be successful in bending the curve, lowering the apex of the curve, and reducing the number of cases and hospitalizations in Arkansas. And Dr. Smith will talk about that a little bit more. And then if we go to the next slide, you'll see something that is not helpful to us. And this is one that some of you have seen on national or local broadcast. And it shows the states in blue with stay-at-home orders, the lighter blue with some version of that, and the white, Arkansas, right in the middle, that they say we're not being effective because we don't have a stay-at-home order. And this is not helpful to us because it gives people an unrealistic expectation as to what this means, first of all, and secondly, the impact of it. And it gives the impression that we're really not doing as much as we should be in Arkansas when you can see from the targeted response that we're doing a great deal and it has been having some success. Now, many of the states that are in blue that have initiated stay-at-home orders or shelter-in-place orders, they go by different names, they are in essence an illusion of a true stay-at-home order. If you're going to order people to stay at home, that means nobody goes out. But in fact, in the typical executive order that directs people to stay at home, they exempt essential activities that includes manufacturing by and large, and it allows them to engage in outdoor activity. It exempts banks, hardware stores, laundry services, work from home products that are needed, which is a lot. It exempts legal, accounting, and insurance services. Lawyers can work, accountants can work, insurance services would continue under many, many of the orders. Even California, which they talk about as a more stringent area, their executive order exempts grocery stores, farmers markets, convenience stores, banks, laundromats, and someone expressed it as a recipe for confusion because they aren't exactly sure who is exempt in essential industries and not. And the fact is that in California, every morning under their stay-at-home order, millions get up and go to work every morning. Now, in Arkansas, if I entered a stay-at-home order, this would mean that tomorrow morning, if I entered the stay-at-home order today, similar to what the other states have done, tomorrow morning over 700,000 Arkansans would get up and go to work. And why is that? Because they're engaged in essential industries and manufacturing of essential products in our state. And it would also mean that individuals would leave their home to go to the grocery stores, to go to the Walmart store or the Lowe's, because those are the typical kinds of things that are deemed essential and are being exempted by the stay-at-home orders across the country. And so even tomorrow, we would have 700,000 or more get up and go to work, but you would also put a couple hundred thousand out of jobs. And so the question is, are you accomplishing anything by doing that order? And that's what we measure every day, is our targeted response sufficient? Do we need to take additional measures? And when we do, we accomplish that. So we're trying to make good judgments based upon good public health data that is scientifically based and that works for makes sense in Arkansas. Let me assure you that if we need to do more, we will. And the test is, are we having compliance to the social distancing? Are people doing what they should do in this environment? And most people are doing extremely responsible actions that we expect them to do. And when we get a report that a group is not, we take action to address that based upon the guidelines that we have. And again, this targeted response that we've initiated not only is fair and more appropriate, but it is also being effective. And that's what we're trying to judge, to save lives, to reduce hospitalizations, and to make sure we get through this as quickly as we can. One area of concern that some people have expressed to me is the prison environment and what we're doing to protect those that are incarcerated. And one of the reasons that I asked Secretary Wendy Kelly to come here today, because we are concerned about the prisons. We've taken measures there. One of the things that's been done is that we're screening employees when they come to work as to their health status, but also who they've been in contact with. We've limited movement to the extent possible within the prison. And what I like also is that the Arkansas Correction Industries, the inmates, they have been converted, the correction industries, to making washable, rewashable masks that they can use in the inmate population and in the guard population. And so I'm proud of what Wendy Kelly and her team has done as Secretary of Corrections, and we want to work hard so that we make sure that they can stay safe and respond accordingly in the prison environment. With that, I wanted to invite Dr. Nate Smith to first come and give his report, and then Secretary Kelly to make a comment.
This is Nate Smith, the Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor. As the Governor has already stated, today we have 643 cases, which is up 59 from yesterday. The gender and racial distribution is similar to what it's been. We have 20 children, age less than 18, 183 older Arkansans, age 65 or older, and then 440 adults age 18 to 64. Our comorbid conditions are percentage-wise similar to what they have been before. We have now 91 healthcare workers who have tested positive for COVID-19 in Arkansas, and that's up 7 from yesterday. We continue to have 51 nursing home residents. We have 66 who are currently hospitalized, and that's up 10 from yesterday. We have 23 who are currently on ventilators. That's down 2 from yesterday. Unfortunately, we've had 2 additional deaths, so we're up to 12. And we have 47 who have recovered, and that's up 5 from yesterday. In terms of the healthcare workers, the 91 healthcare workers, 10 are physicians, 26 are nurses, and the 4 are CNAs, certified nurse assistants, nursing assistants, and the others are a combination of licensed and unlicensed healthcare workers, and in some of them we don't yet know exactly what their specific job is, but we're gathering data on that. Of our 12 deaths, a total of 8 of those are amongst Arkansans age 65 and older, and 4 of those are in the 19 to 64 year old range. I wanted to add just a little bit to what the governor has said about stay-at-home orders or shelter-in-place, because I've also been asked about that quite a bit. You know, why aren't we doing it? You know, we're one of only a handful of states left who are not doing that, and I understand there's a certain amount of political pressure to do what everyone else is doing. But from my perspective, from a data perspective, I've got 3 questions I have to ask and then answer. The first is, what do you mean? And the governor has talked about that. In theory, it would mean everyone would stay at home and we wouldn't be here. I'd be at home and you'd be at home. But the reality is that there's a lot of people who we need to go to work every day, to take care of the sick patients, to get food for us to eat, turn on the lights and the plumbing, et cetera. So it's not everyone staying at home. And so there are a lot of exceptions. And in some states, they're more stringent than others. But in no state is everyone staying at home. The second is, what are you trying to accomplish? Well, I think what we're trying to accomplish here is not to be like every other state or to tick off a box saying that we're at a stay-at-home state. What we're trying to do is to flatten that curve. Now, there is no state that is actually on the downside of this epidemic. Even those who have put in stay-at-home orders really early on, they're still increasing their numbers of cases every day. So none of us are there yet. But the hope with a stay-at-home order is, could you flatten it out? Could you decrease the rate of growth? And as the governor has mentioned, our rate of growth has, at least recently, flattened out. We've had about the same number of new cases today as we did yesterday and the day before. And if you look at where we are compared to other states, our recent rate of growth is at least as good as any other state. The third question is, do stay-at-home orders work? And the jury is still out on that. If you look at other countries that have done something similar to a stay-at-home order, we don't really have much evidence that they've worked. And if you look at our states, we hope that they're helpful in some situations, but so far we don't have compelling evidence that it works in a state like ours better than what we're doing. And as I've mentioned before, our population density is a lot lower than some other areas. And so a stay-at-home order might be more effective in a more densely populated area than in a more lightly populated area. These are questions that have not yet been fully answered. So to reiterate what the governor said, what we're doing at this point seems to be working in terms of flattening our curve. We're doing at least as well as other states in terms of accomplishing that. There's always the option of going to more stringent measures if we need them or if what we're doing stops working. And finally, whatever we do, though, we've got to be able to sustain. And the big question for me about stay-at-home orders is, how long can people sustain those? How long are people willing to actually abide by them? And then how long can the economy of a state sustain it? And if we have states that are coming out of their stay-at-home orders too soon, then they can have either increased growth or fail to get past that peak when they had hoped to do that. So what we're trying to do is put in place things that we can sustain for as long as we need them, and as soon as we no longer need them, scale them back. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Nate. Secretary Kelly.
This is Secretary of the Department of Corrections, Wendy Kelly.
Thank you. As most of you may know, we did stop visitation, in-person visitation in the prison system on March the 16th. To counter that impact on families and friends, we lowered the telephone rates, the video visitation rates, and the email rates to encourage that that contact continue, but not cost the families. In addition, because so many people are out of work, parole and probation fees were waived for the month of April. So those are some of the things that have been done to ease this. Our Arkansas Correctional Industries is making cloth masks that we'll be able to use. We have received 1,000 of those from them already. As you know, we have over 18,000 inmates, but our goal is to targetly distribute them for inmates and staff, and that's what we will be doing. As of now, we have no inmates that have tested positive for the virus. We have one staff member who tested positive but had a job that was not inside the facilities. He didn't have direct contact with the inmates, so we feel very blessed at this time. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. With that, we have it turned over to questions.
I guess just kind of explain what those masks, like how are they being made, what's the material, is there any way we can get those even into the hospital system since we're having a PPE problem?
What Correctional Industries did was go to our infirmary and get one of the masks that the staff were using, not the N95 mask, but the cloth mask they were using in there. And that's the model that they used, except they increased the size of it based upon other information. So we have a order in for the department for 20,000 of those. Our medical provider has an order in for 5,000 of those. And then Correctional Industries should be able to manufacture a total of 80,000, and we're going to work with A.J. Gary to determine where those others should be distributed.
Governor, I would just like to get your reaction to the new unemployment numbers nationwide today. I mean, certainly we know in Arkansas we've had so many people apply for unemployment. Just your reaction on what we're seeing in this nationwide scale and how it could impact Arkansas's economy.
Well, in my lifetime, we've never seen anything like it at all. You can see that in our economic report. We've had to adjust our revenue forecast. We have the report that was come in for last month. And last month, we were rocking along fantastically in Arkansas with a surplus, generating more revenues in the forecast. And all of a sudden, it took a nosedive because of this virus. And we're having to adjust our budgets downward, and every business is having to do that. And you're looking at, you've already looked at tens of thousands of layoffs in Arkansas. We've just touched the surface here in this state in terms of unemployment numbers. There'll probably be more filed in the next 2 weeks than they've been filed in the last 2 weeks. And so this trend will continue. I'm an optimist, and I do believe that the foundation of our economy is strong. And as soon as we get through this virus and this emergency, we're going to come back in a very robust fashion. But that's why we got to shorten it. But the economic news is not good, and that's why we consider this not just a health crisis, but an economic crisis.
Can the state afford all this unemployment, or at least at the rate it's going?
Yes. For how long is another question, but we have a very robust and strong unemployment insurance fund that employers have paid into, and so that will be utilized to pay the unemployment insurance claims. In addition, we're going to get federal assistance to make sure those funds continue and are strengthened. So there's not, in the short term, any challenge there at all. And in fact, they've broadened the unemployment to include those in the gig economy, those that are self-employed in certain categories that can't take the benefit of it as well. So they're really working hard to get the relief to those individuals that have been laid off, have lost their jobs, or lost their employment.
Have you got a dollar figure in the past couple of weeks?
No.
On how much they pay now?
I do not.
Kind of close to the first of the month, a lot of folks looking at their rent checks being due now or in the next few days. Is there any talk on maybe putting a moratorium on evictions?
You know, there is a practical moratorium already on evictions because the courts aren't open. The process servers are not going out and doing that kind of contact. So there's a practical moratorium now. Secondly, I've talked to a number of landlords, I've talked to people who pay rent, and they're very accommodating. If there's a COVID reason that someone can't pay the rent, they are more than accommodating to waive the penalties and interest and to make sure they have time to get their cash payment. They do say once you get your cash payment from unemployment or from even more so from the federal government, pay your rent, because if you don't pay the rent then all of a sudden the landlord who has a mortgage can't pay that, and there's a mortgage foreclosure, and it escalates down the chain. And so when I see a need for it, we will do it. But right now there is a practical moratorium, and so I think there's a good accommodation between the landlords and the tenants who will work through this.
Yes, we had another positive test amongst legislators. Any thoughts about that? Suggestions?
I spoke to the speaker last night, and he was confident that the social distancing environment for the legislative session at the Stevens Center was smart, and that they will repeat that. And because of that, they feel comfortable in the protective measures they have in place. I think, you know, if anybody in that group needs to be tested, I'm sure that if Dr. Smith says that's a good idea, that that'll be done.
On the stay-at-home issue, you mentioned if you put that in place, it would put 100,000 people out of work. What are the types of businesses that would have to close that are allowed to be open now if you did put that order in place?
Dillard's, Hibbett Sporting Good, mall-type clothing stores, places of business like that right now are I mean, their business is probably down 80%, the reports I get, but they're able to use some employees to serve a minimal number of customers and also to do their online shipping. So they're keeping a group of employees there because they have that level of work to do. People are making their own decision to stay home, and that's exactly what they should be doing, unless there's an absolute necessity to get out. And so it has had an impact. I know that they've also will put a sign out saying no more than 6 customers at a time in the store, or fewer than 10 customers if it's a smaller store. And so they're taking those precautions, but those are the businesses that would be impacted, as well as, and this is the challenge, a whole host of other businesses that we don't even realize because they haven't been quantified as essential or non-essential. You know, we just got a call from Pernod Ricard. What happens to them if you do a stay-at-home order? And they're making, sanitizers. They've converted to that. So maybe they'd be exempt. Maybe they wouldn't be exempt. But there's a whole host of confusion that would result, too, from one of those orders, unless it's very, very clearly defined. And the consequences would be another huge jump of over 100,000 in unemployment.
How many inmates, roughly, have you guys tested?
2.
So only 2 have shown symptoms?
I get a list every day of who's being monitored, and they're with symptoms. It's a very small number that are being monitored. We also waived the medical copay, so there's nothing to keep an inmate from reporting to the infirmary if he believes he's got a symptom or an illness of any kind. But everybody that has symptoms is being monitored. You know, we're a closed community, so once it gets in, it will be disastrous. But because we're closed, it's less likely to get in there than it is to reach y'all.
Are the masks also going to be going to any of the federal prisons within the state, or is that just state prisons?
That's just state, the Department of Corrections.
Dr. Smith, you mentioned folks who have recovered, and we had heard earlier about your plea to ask them to donate plasma. I just wanted to follow up on that and ask if anybody, any of those, what did you say the number is, 46 or 47 who have recovered have donated plasma?
Well, we're still in the process of getting that set up to where they can do that. Of course, they'll have to be screened to make sure they're not still shedding virus. And then we are working on the logistics of having a place where they can safely have that plasma collected and then processed. But all those arrangements with the different organizations that need to be part of that are taking place. We should be ready fairly soon.
And just as a practical matter, you see a lot of folks walking around grocery stores these days with masks, and we've gotten a lot of questions about how they sanitize those at home, you know, for reuse rather than buying a new mask each time. Can you address that?
Are you talking about cloth masks, or are you talking about
like not an N95 or anything like that?
Right. Well, the value of a cloth mask, it offers pretty limited protection against acquiring infection, but they're actually quite effective if someone has symptoms, and it doesn't have to be COVID-19. It could be influenza or another respiratory virus, capturing those droplets on the inside of the mask before before they spread into the environment. And if it's a cloth mask, they can take it home and they can wash it, launder it, and then reuse it the next day.
On the death, were any of the deaths at a nursing home?
Yes, unfortunately, one of the 2 deaths was someone who had been at the Briarwood Nursing Home. So that brings us to 2 nursing home related deaths.
What age group were the 2 recent deaths?
One was greater than 65, and the other was an adult less than 65. Both had underlying medical conditions.
What are some of the factors that you guys are using in your projection models?
In this model, we're using the data that we have, and we're basically fitting it to a curve. We're trying to stick to what our numbers show. Now, some of these longer term projections that show, you know, when it's supposed to peak and go down, they're using a lot of assumptions that are coming from data elsewhere, and that's where you start to get a lot of variance. You know, models predicting very, very different times and different peaks, et cetera, and that all has to do with the assumptions that are going into those models. The models that the governor has been showing that project out, you know, just a couple of weeks, we're really not using any assumptions other than just using our actual data.
The non-nursing home death, do you know what part of the state that was in?
I believe both of these were central Arkansas.
Do you have any breakdown on the number of nursing home staff?
Yes, I do. We have a total of 24 staff members at different nursing homes who have tested positive at this point.
Two more questions.
So the number of 91 caregivers, health professionals who've been infected, are you tracking those to see if some of them may have been using PPE in a way that, you know, people are using it now but would rather not, like waiting until it's wet, as we hear some people are being told to do? Or are you like studying those cases to see?
When we have an outbreak related to a healthcare setting like a hospital or a nursing home long-term care facility, we will go in and we will look at how people are doing all of the infection control measures and identify gaps and make recommendations. I don't have specific information on each of those who tested positive. In some cases, we do know, especially in the first few cases, that probably infection control measures were not taken from the very beginning when the patient first came in. It's sometimes difficult to know exactly when or where or how a healthcare worker became infected. In most of these cases, we're assuming if it's a hospital setting that it might have been through contact with a patient, but when it's a long-term care facility, it's much more likely that the healthcare worker became infected outside, and then there the risk is to bring it to the residents. And so that's a little harder to track that one down, because if they acquire it off duty or outside the healthcare setting, then PPE would not be really relevant.
Last question.
Can I get an update on the PPE from the strategic stockpile and the reagent? Where are we on acquiring all of this to continue our testing and bring it up to what we had previously predicted?
You can start and I'll supplement.
Yes. For reagents for the labs, we're actually in a pretty good place right now. I mentioned that we received supplies from Roche yesterday. We've received additional supplies from CDC. These are to do our manual extractions. They were very helpful. And then we're expecting additional supplies from a company called BioFire that is another platform that we have the machine. We've just been waiting for the reagents to use. So we're in pretty good shape right now at the Department of Health lab. In terms of PPE, there are some areas of the state that are okay, and there are others that have not gotten all that they need right now. And so Director Gary has been very helpful in working with us, and we have a map that helps us to see where those needs are so we can start directing supplies to where their greatest need.
I'll just add on the supply chain side of the PPE, we've received, 70% of our shipment from the National Strategic Stockpile. That's in hand. And then the PPE that we've acquired on the open marketplace globally, that is starting to arrive. and that should be a regular supply chain that will be coming in over the course of the next couple of weeks, using air freight and every other kind of means we can to get that here. But I'm with Dr. Smith. I feel much more comfortable today in terms of that supply chain on protective equipment than we were a week ago. Team has really come together on that, and then we got to just make sure we get it distributed out in the right way. We're going to have a call here shortly with on that supply chain and making sure we get it out to those who need it. Thank you all very much today.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson in his latest press briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. The latest number is 643 cases of coronavirus here in the state. That's up 59 from yesterday. There are 66 people hospitalized in the state. That's up 10. And there are two more deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas since yesterday to a total of 12. Two of those, the latest two deaths, both people had underlying conditions. One person was over 65 years old. One was between the age of 19 and 64. Both deaths occurred in central Arkansas. One of them was a resident at Little Rock's Briarwood Nursing and Rehabilitation Home in Little Rock. That brings the total number of nursing home deaths in the state due to COVID-19 to 2. And thank you for listening. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. It is 2:06.